This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today I have an extraordinary guest who is going to be sharing many of what I really felt were her heartwarming stories that are featured in her book, Gifts of Gratitude. And then on top of being an author, Elizabeth is her name, Elizabeth Galen Baker is her name, is also a filmmaker, and she's going to be talking about some of the documentaries that she's done, and then also she has a new documentary on climate change. And so I think you're going to find it very fascinating. I talked to her briefly before we started the show. You are going to love her. I loved her. I loved when I read her book, and I know that from reading her book and just that little bit of conversation, some of the things she's going to be sharing with us today is going to put a great big smile in our heart. Also, Elizabeth's been kind enough to say that she will answer some calls. So what we're going to be doing is we're both going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for us about today's show and the topics or her book or her story as we get into it, please call us. If you have a question for me regarding health or life decisions, because we are at a very, very pivotal time right now in what we want to do with our life. This was perfect timing with Elizabeth to have her on the show to share her stories and how she just kept going and going, even when probably like all of us, she said, you know, I'm not sure this is where I should be. She was just guided. So questions about health, questions about the show, questions for Elizabeth or myself, you can call us at 877-230-3062. And of course, that number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also international callers, just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. Well, I've received many emails from a lot of my listeners and a lot of my supporters of my work asking me, Carol, would you please take the time to tell us about some of these updates, these energy updates that are happening from time to time that are really impacting us. And, you know, I can't seem to figure out what it is. So I listened. And what I now have posted on my website is something called Carol's Musings. It's on the homepage. Just go to Reitberger, Reitberger.com. Click on the moving slide, Carol's Musings, and you are going to find the latest energy update download on what we just went through in this great time of closure of 2014, and also sharing some of the different messages that the celestial helpers bring forward to us. So it's just an eclectic mix of everything, and it's hopefully going to give you information so your logical mind that's standing there kind of scratching its head trying to figure out what's happening is going to be able to wrap itself around what you're feeling, what you've experienced, the direction that you want to go in a way that you can follow your instincts and your intuition. So again, if you would like this free, it's free audio download, just go to Reitberger.com, Reitberger.com, and go to Carol's Musings, and then you'll get these energy updates, channel messages, and whatever musings that the guides, angels, and master teachers want to share with us to help us move forward in our spiritual evolution and that wonderful journey called life. So, again, Reitberger.com. One of the things, as a radio host, I receive a lot of emails from publicists inquiring if I would like to have their client as a guest on my show. And honestly, many of the authors just don't seem to intuitively feel like they fit with the focus that I would like to bring to you as the listeners on the show. And then also kind of what you share with me that you'd be interested in hearing about. However, I don't know what it was. There was something different about Elizabeth. And I didn't even see a picture of her at the time. Her publicist sent me a bio and a brief write-up on her book, Gifts of Gratitude. And there was just something about her that I connected with on that intuitive level. And the more I read about her bio, I found that this is a woman who is self-made. She's successful. She persevered when probably wondered why she's doing it. And what she did is she took simple kind of situations, life situations that many of us might see as those obstacles and roadblock, and she turned them into a very spiritual, purposeful, and a joyful life by really following in the footsteps of grace and gratitude and looking at each one of these experiences as a wonderful opportunity to not only help herself grow, but to also help in sharing her stories with others to help them grow. Voila, the book, Gifts of Gratitude. So what I did is I contacted her publicist and I said, you know, I'm interested. I'd love to have a copy of her book. I went through that book. Oh my gosh. I had most of my reading actually is about reference book research and things with what I'm interested in, health and healing, behavioral medicine, personality. This book I couldn't put down. It was a very easy read, heartwarming. I would finish one little small chapter and find myself smiling and looking at things differently. And I knew instinctively that she's someone that I wanted to have on the show, and I wanted to have her share her stories, share her life with you, and to put that same smile in your heart that I had in mine. Elizabeth is quite eclectic, meaning that she's really very diverse in the things that she's capable of doing. She's the author, as I mentioned, of The Gifts of Gratitude. And what she does is in this book is really suggest to us that everything that we experience has a purpose to it. And if we can accept that aspect of it having a purpose, then we enter into the experiences in a way that leaves us open and receptive to grow. She's also a charismatic award-winning director writer. In 2001 and 2002, she initiated a formation of a visionary task force to work with New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson to pass the historic filmmakers legislation that she wanted to bring awareness to what was going on. And what she did is, thanks to the foresight of Governor Johnson and the astute members of the New Mexico State House and Senate, with all this critical support of Elizabeth's outreach to superstars such as Shirley MacLaine, Val Kilmer, and Marsha Mason, among others, New Mexico experienced a rebirth in filmmaking. Over the last decade, film has been estimated as an $8 billion industry in New Mexico, and Elizabeth was the creator of this whole new movement in that area, and she's been credited with helping to make New Mexico an undisputed film capital in the Southwest. You know, I could go on and on about the films, but I really want to get her on the air and have her share her story. So, Elizabeth, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my, Carol, you have certainly made my heart smile with that introduction. Thank you so much. What a sweetheart.
You are welcome. So, you know, we always kind of start these interviews out with some of the typical questions, but the typical question I want to ask you is, what inspired you to write this wonderful story of your life, this book, Gifts of Gratitude?
Well, what inspired me is in the first chapter, it was an extraordinary accident that I was in 1969, and I had said a prayer of gratitude before the accident, and then we either all died or all lived through it. I still don't know what happened in that particular situation, but what I did know was that I had to decide that gratitude saved us to go on in another life, saved us in however, but for me, there was not a period at the end of that accident. It didn't feel like dying. It felt like living. In fact, I laughed for 3 days before I could stop laughing. The adrenaline was going through me so hard. So I thought about all of that for about 20 years, And then after I had worked on 50 to 1 and written that original screenplay, I wanted to sort of retreat and do something interesting, and I sent off two chapters of the book to Berman Books in Toronto, and they said, sit down and write the book, we'll take it. So that's how it all came about.
You know, it's interesting, as I said in the intro, honey, I knew there was something about you that just kind of touched my heart in a kindredness. And in 1981, I had a near-death experience. And when you were talking about the accident and you didn't know whether you died or you lived, it was like, oh my gosh, that is that kindredness. Because one of the things I've learned is that when people do touch the other side, whether they're consciously aware of it or not, there's something different about the vibration. That's what attracted me to you, Elizabeth.
Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Yes, there's something absolutely different about the vibration. And if you're lucky enough to experience that and continue on with the same life, I mean, I didn't get born again. I didn't have a new name. I was still Elizabeth Galen Baker, but life was forever changed. And you know that, I know that, and there's probably a million listeners out there, Carol, that also know that.
Absolutely, and I think you really hit the nail on the head, is that rather than looking at life as every day we're getting closer to death, when you experience something that changes your perception of your life, then what you do is you see every day as the beginning of a new life, a new day. You know, the stories in your book, I mean, you know, the big cats, the little cats. There was a particular quote as an author, a fellow author, there was a particular quote that I found in the book that just really helped me with where I was, sweetie, and then I'm going to let you start talking some more. And it was something that, you know, that I think it was your father that was saying to you in writing a book. And it said, and don't forget, he said, as he looked directly at me with a kindly smile, when you are writing, you must look daily at the horizon and simply write about what you see there. And I need to tell you, honey, I was in a writer's block, and it was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't get words. And I was reading your book, and I hit that, and it's like, oh, well, that's really simple and straightforward. So tell us some more of the stories that you have in your book.
Well, one of the interesting things is that wasn't my father. In a way, it was my father of writing. It wasn't my birth father that said that. It was Carlos Castaneda. And
hello.
Yeah, right. And because when I met Carlos, I did not think of myself as a writer. People had been telling me all my life, you're a writer, you have to write, you have to write. And I kept saying, but I'm not a writer, and I don't know how to write. And then, of course, I learned that it's not about knowing how to write. It's about learning how to look at the horizon and write what you see. And he invited me as a writer. I read a book about him and about the women around him, and I then found out that they were having a workshop on tensegrity in Hawaii, and I went, and then I asked the magazine that I was learning possibly to write for, Body, Mind, Spirit, if I could do an interview with Carlos Castaneda. And then it turned out that he wanted someone else to interview him, and I asked if I could indeed write the introduction to the interview, and he said, and of course he wasn't saying this personally to me, he was saying it through all of the people around him, but he said, yes, you can, but you have to fax it to me first, and if I approve of it, then you can send it into the magazine. And I said, when do I have to fax it to him? And they said, tomorrow morning. And I went into an absolute nervous twit. And then as a writer, you'll know what I mean when I say I finally went into that trance that you go into when you're open and receptive to the great consciousness writing instead of you really taking credit for it. And then with shaky hands, I faxed it to Carlos Castaneda, who not only approved it, but for the next 3 years invited me to every workshop as the writer. And that was what made me know that I was a writer, that I had to write, and that was the start of me writing.
Interesting. Was that also kind of that part that got you into film writing and becoming a filmmaker?
No, you know what? I had wanted to be a filmmaker all my life, and I just thought it would be another lifetime. And I was a performer in New York back in the day and did some extra work and whatnot in movies in New York City, and nothing you ever heard of or nothing that I even remember, come to think of it. But I did study with John Cassavetes and at the Cassavetes-Burton Lane Theater Workshop, and did all of that. Then I had good sense, got married, had babies, raised two boys, stayed home, you know, and did all of that. And when the boys went off to college, I happened to be in L.A., and I thought, well, what do you want to do if you ever grow up here? And the feeling I had was, my goodness, I'm in L.A. I wonder if I could get a job in the film industry, not thinking about being in front of the camera, but wanting actually to make films. Took me 3 years. Within 2 weeks of being hired, I was assistant to the director. Then I got trained as a script supervisor, and I became a UPM, which is unit production manager. And I was off to the races. I did 11 terrible films, terrible independent films in L.A. before Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, are you going to spend the rest of your life making bad films, or are you going to start making good films? I was of the age where I knew no one would ever hire me, so I hired myself and made my first documentary, which won the New York International Independent Film and Video Festival, and it was a documentary to see if I could help save that buffalo herd at Yellowstone.
Interesting. Interesting how you, several things. One is that how you, it sounds like over the course of your life, even before the accident, that you've always known that you're supposed to do something, I don't know, that makes a difference, and that you followed it. And the thing that captured my mind and really kind of perked up my listening is how you listened when Spirit tapped you on the shoulder. And I think that's that alone is something that's really important for my listeners, is that, you know, we so often, and you can certainly support this, Elizabeth, we so often immediately when we get that tap, we get the excitement, we get that knowing, almost like we know, but when we know, we don't have any other choice, but we immediately stop talking ourselves out of it. Did you do that, or did you just kind of, as you write here blissfully, kind of just go through and go, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do?
You know what? I've never talked myself out of it, and that's the odd, that's the thing I still can't explain. I had my first near-death experience when I was 3 years old, and I don't know if I just came back from that knowing this, you know. Flor de Mayo, one of the 13 grandmothers, said you came from the future and you came back, and so you came back to help people understand this. I really can't explain it. What I know is that I have never, after I won the New York Film Festival, I actually started making, having a little success in L.A., and almost immediately I got the inside information that I was supposed to move to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I just pack up my bags and go. I mean, it's just crazy. Mm. That's why I wondered, you know, I laughed at myself. We had a wonderful book signing at the Collected Works bookstore in Santa Fe, and I was in tears because 50-1, the theatrical release of the story of Mind That Bird had come out a couple of days before, and I realized that having a book out there and having my first screenplay made into a movie, an actual theatrical feature film, were the gifts of gratitude, that I really hadn't started out my life to do that. I had started out my life somehow, some way, to follow spirit. And that's what I've done my whole life. I've never, when I get that tap on the shoulder, I do not argue. I pack my bags and I go. And I think that, you know, I question my sanity many times in my life about living my life that way. But now I have to say I don't have, not only do I not have one regret, I really am so grateful that it's about the way it's turned out and the kind of example I am. I'm sure I'm not an example that works for everybody, but I know I am an example for people who live their lives like you have, Carol, really understanding that it's all connected, that there are no false signals, that what, you know, that what we need to do is to trust that consciousness. I don't have a word for it, you know. Some people call it God. Some people call it I Am. Some people call it Yahoo. You know, Yahweh. It's there's a million names, but it's a consciousness that is alive and in each of us, and that's where we need to look.
Exactly. And one of the things is that it's so easy for us, especially in our conditioning, very early on, and all the desires to like and be liked and loved and fit in and everything, it's very easy for that, what I call that executive brain, to come in and just plant enough of a seed of doubt that causes us to go in the doubt that I find in my work, and I'm sure you have in yours and all of my listeners as well, is that little seed of doubt, if it touches a part of us that feels familiar, that has limitations, that feels safe, it's really a challenge for us to learn to step beyond that. And as you said, if we know that there's this living field of consciousness and internal wisdom and knowing within us, and we can find some way to just pack our bags, like you said, and, you know, take that next step, move forward. I mean, look at your life. You know, I was reading, you know, the people that you, the synchronicity that you've, you know, certainly have connected with. You know, we've got Shirley MacLaine, and we've got Allie McGraw, and Buckminster Fuller, and, you know, this governor, Gary Johnson. I mean, there really is a synchronicity to all of this, isn't there?
There's a synchronicity, and I don't think that there is one thing that happens. I'm just convinced now. But, you know, maybe it only works for me because I'm convinced. I really can't explain all of this. I do believe that we are moving now into a golden age of consciousness transformation. I know that it doesn't look like that to most people who are watching the news. You know, we've had a shoot killing every week since Sandy Hook. We have so much stuff going on the planet right now, but we're used to that stuff. We don't have a frame of reference for all the good stuff that is happening, all the great things that are really connected and changing things. I think it's all getting better, and I believe that we are going into a golden age of consciousness now, and that there are just some pioneers like you, like me, like a lot of people who are out there listening to us.
Yeah, I call, you know, being a pioneer, new age acupuncture. You're always removing the arrows from your backside.
Yeah, right.
But you know what? What else can you do? So anyway, we've got a caller. Let's jump on real quick. Hi, Leslie from Portland, Oregon. How are you, sweetie?
Fine. How are you? That was
good.
Interesting conversation, and kind of touches on some things that I have on the back burner. Creative in the creative area, and so that's kind of nice synchronicity, because I was calling for you for a health issue, but a very interesting story of Elizabeth.
Yeah, and you know, jumping in, and thank you for calling both of us, sweetie, and you know, I'll turn it over to see if Elizabeth has these pearls of wisdom for you as well. But, you know, one of the things that I've personally found is that when we spend a lot of time doing the things that we think we should, kind of the shoulda, coulda, wouldas that I talk about so much in my show, it really drains us. It distracts us from the true passion and the things that we have inside. And I think with the energy, and like Elizabeth was saying, with this kind of golden age of consciousness, I think that we're becoming less and less enamored with what was and more driven by finding what the possibility is. When I look at my board on my screen, sweetie, which is what you put up there, and Barb, my producer, picked up for us to talk about fatigue, exhaustion, anxiety. All of those things certainly impact the physical body, but they're all indicators that what we're doing isn't in alignment with us. It isn't in alignment with that creativity that you say that you have inside. And that was one of the reasons with wanting to bring Elizabeth. I mean, free spirit, absolutely. But she followed. She listened. And I encourage you to go in, and you've got three things, it feels like to me. Yep, go ahead, please.
I just had to make a move out of the area that my home and move 4 hours south. So it's not a huge, but it's a big enough change that I can't go back that easily. And it was for financial and family reasons. And so I'm kind of getting adjusted, but feeling very kind of disconnected a little bit, because I'm in a place where I don't really want to be necessarily, but I can see the advantages. I moved in with my mother, and she's the one that has anxiety issues, that it's kind of in high blood pressure, but I feel like I'm picking up on some of that.
You are.
and I have kind of an exhaustion and fatigue partially from the move, and I think partially just from not feeling the sadness of having to make the move, and feeling like I was getting further away from what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be, but seeing, you know, logically seeing that it could be good to give me more resources in the short and long term. But, you know, it's kind of a drastic move that I'm grappling with. But I know I need to focus on the physical things, too, because if I'm trying to push myself and find a regular job and still have exhaustion, that might not work for me too well.
Yeah. You have a wonderful opportunity to be able to step into your past with being with your mother, and to recognize how far you've grown, how much you've changed, how you're not your mother, how you're not the identity that was associated with it. And it is true that you are picking up. I did pick up the exhaustion and fatigue. I did pick up the anxiety. It's not yours, sweetie. The anxiety to me feels more like excitement, wanting to move forward, instead of the anxiety looking over your shoulder to see who's going to get you in the backside. So there are some wonderful opportunities. Plus, the financial aspect of it is going to give you some freedom to be able to explore some of the creativity that you have inside and bring it forward. And so if you can step away from where you are and look at it through your soul's eyes, you're going to start to see the gifts that are in this opportunity for you to move forward. There are some physical things. I'd like you to look at your diet. It feels like your body is asking you to eat foods that are just, kind of an instant quick fix. It gives you the glucose. It gives you things, but I've got a roller coaster ride in your blood sugars. And so what you can do is be very mindful of what goes in your mouth and to see each thing as being very healthful, helping you feel whole, giving you the vitality that you need. And that's going to help you with the burnout. The reason for the move that I'm picking up is because where you were, there was burnout that was happening, and you honestly needed a change of scenery. That's as simple as it seems to me. So I want to pass you over. Elizabeth, any words of wisdom?
Well, just always know that we're put where we can do the most good for ourselves. And all we have to figure out is that little riddle of how to do it. And there's a mantra that I say for myself many, many times. And there's a powerful force for good in the universe, and what I need to do is to learn how to let it use me to move me forward. And, you know, certainly we've all, Rusty, been in situations that feel like this, what you're facing now, and it's a riddle. It's like an optical illusion. When you see the other side, you'll be out of it before you know it, either out of it physically or out of it mentally, and it doesn't really matter because as long as it's not any longer affecting you, you'll be in good shape. And I'm thrilled that you have Carol and that Carol is able to see in the way that she is. That's very exciting.
Yes, so, that's a wonderful gift, too.
It is. And, you know, you have that same gift. And so what I may offer to you, and then go to a commercial break, sweetie, is be very kind to yourself. Give yourself the time. I don't know what that looks like. Give yourself the time to get settled, get situated, to get that breath of fresh air that you're looking for, to be able to stand back. And if I may just push a little bit, don't rush into anything right now. Even if you give yourself a week, 2 weeks, a month, give yourself the time, sweetie, because it'll recharge your batteries the way that you're looking for. It'll give you a different perspective. You'll deal with your mother's anxiety differently and not be that beautiful empathic person that picks it up and then tries to carry it around as if it's your own. That's part of the reason I think that you're back home, or you're back with her, is that to recognize, honestly, what's yours, what belongs to somebody else. And if you're going to carry anything, let's carry our own and not necessarily carry someone else. So a real good time to be kind to yourself, love yourself. And, you know, I'm so excited when I touch inside. You know, I'm not sure about job versus career. There's a lot bubbling to the surface with you. So I thank you, Leslie, for calling, sweetie. And I can't wait for you to listen to the next segment with Elizabeth, and she talks about some of this filmmaker part of her. It's going to be quite inspiring. So thank you for calling me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You are welcome. All right. What we want to do is Elizabeth and I would like to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk more about all of her beautiful gifts, and we're going to talk about this latest documentary she's working on. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I have Elizabeth Galen Baker as my guest. She is the author of Gifts of Gratitude, is an award-winning filmmaker and director, and she's currently working on her third documentary on the impact of climate change and how it's affecting small villages on the northwest coastline of Alaska. And what I've asked Elizabeth to do is that I want to really feature that part of the talents that she has. So what I want to do is I really want to take the time. Let's get back to Elizabeth. But if Elizabeth, please tell us, how can we learn more about you, get your book, Gifts of Gratitude, anything that you would like us to know?
Well, first of all, before we leave the book, it is available at Barnes & Noble online. It's available at Amazon online. Available. I know they have copies, signed copies at Collected Works in Santa Fe. I don't know all of the bookstores that are carrying it, but it is available. And if people are looking to be inspired by this type of testimonial, then that would, please pay attention to the book. The other thing is that I got hired. I've made two documentaries. One ended up on PBS, one won the New York Film Festival, one won a film festival, the White Sands Film Festival in New Mexico, and I got hired to make a third documentary, and I suddenly got on that channel of inspiration. I got that the name of it was We Know Not What We Do. And if you go to www.wenownotwhatwedo.net, you will see the website of this documentary. And what I want to say about this one is that I was hired to make a documentary on climate change. But the truth is that I realized almost right away that it is not about climate change. It's about moral change, consciousness change of man. And that's what this documentary, because we have not, if we fully realize the destruction that we were causing for people all over the world with our lifestyle, with our attitude of ignorance and arrogance and whatnot, we are part of the web of life. We have been ripping up that web of life and our own homeland and the biodiversity of this planet like crazy, like there's not going to be any consequences, and we're wrong. Mm-hmm. So this is really turning into a documentary about moral consciousness of mankind, which I am now convinced is happening and happening very rapidly, even though we can't see it. We can't see the forest for the trees right now, but I think it's a very hopeful time. We not only went to Kivalina, Alaska, we went to Appalachia. We have gone all over the country, Farmington, New Mexico, Magdalena, New Mexico, Lubbock, Texas. We've been all over the country following Washington, D.C., New York. We've been all over the country following these stories about what is wrong. And in following these stories, I have begun to really see what is right. And I hope to make a documentary that isn't terrifying, that doesn't numb people into inactivity, but instead encourages people to connect with one another and work for the good of our human species, because we can and are on the list of extinction if we do not wake up and start living our lives in a different way.
Well, you know, one of the things also with the write-up that I got on the documentary is that when you went to Alaska, that even when people are losing their material resources and their things that are important for survival, there is that part of human spirit that seems to be able to find the good, be able to make it with what they've got, and to be able to live mindfully and resourcefully to the point where we don't continue to really kind of take away all of the resources that Mother Earth has for us. And that was something that when I read the write-up on it that you found when you visited the villages in Alaska, correct?
It's absolutely true that there is joy in life that many in the United States of America has lost. Mm-hmm. And they've lost because of a whole myriad of reasons. But we need to regain that joy of life. It isn't, material wealth is not quality of life. And, you know, it's time for us to really grow up and learn that. More things are not going to make us happy. What makes us happy is a deep sense of satisfaction. We have, our children are safe, our water is clean, we have simple food to eat, we're fine. And they seem to know that better in Kivalina, Alaska right now than we do in the United States of America.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I go back to Leslie, our caller, on the first segment where she was talking about the, you know, being tired and fatigue and everything. And one of the things that I've personally have learned is that the more we have, the more maintenance it takes, the more discretionary time gets eaten away. And it's that discretionary time where that allows us to step back from the hustle and bustle to really appreciate the things, to see the things that honestly most of us miss. And there's all this mindfulness revolution that's going on. And I was in Alaska myself and visiting some of the villages for some of the work that I do. And, you know, it's the things they get up. They do have their days planned based on the calendar, but there is a joy. So I want to jump in really quick, and I know this isn't going to be quick, but I do. How would you philosophically define that joy that you've got to actually touch with people? Is it a state of mind? Is it, I struggle with this myself. Can you help us out what that might look like from your perspective?
Well, I'm certainly glad you didn't ask me any difficult questions on this interview, Carol. But I say that it is a deep satisfaction of the heart. I think the brain is attached to the heart and not the other way around.
Right.
And when we really have somehow, when we're in ourselves, when we're comfortable in our own being, it doesn't really matter. You know, mm-hmm. we're so teeny. We think ants are teeny, but look at the sky. We're so teeny, and here we are. And it doesn't really matter what you do. It only matters who you are. And if you're comfortable with that, there is a deep resonance of joy in the heart. And it is that healed heart, I think, that makes life worthwhile. And that is the path, really, that I have followed of that heart. And that's why the movies, the book, just the fact that you would care enough about me to interview me today, all of those seems like gifts that have come from the gratitude that I have, that my heart has learned to be happy.
Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, that's what drives our passion. That's what helps, you know, each of us persevere in times and obstacles when we, you know, kind of look ahead of us and go, OMG, I don't think I can do this. And there's something inside that says, oh, sure, you can. Just take one step at a time and just follow it. And, you know, the reason I'd ask about the joyful is that, of course, with my work and just being connected the way I am, this word trying to define joyful is a real moving target. And one of the things I found in your book is that you have a wonderful humor about you, honey. And there's almost, you know, and I say it with great love, but a silliness at the way that you look at life from the standpoint how silly we are to take things so serious and how silly we are to think, like you said, that we are so important to everything and we're like a little ant in the whole kind of scheme of things, yet we're very important to the scheme of things. That's the part I loved about you. That's the part, it feels to me, you want to bring forward in this documentary.
Yes, exactly. You know, my perception is askewed. I was told that. I was told that one time when I was being fired. And I've been fired so many times from so many jobs, and each time I'm fired, I simply realize that that is not what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, and it's true. My perception is askewed, and I see things very differently from most people. And if my perception can help anybody who is struggling out there with the incredible compartments that we wrestle with, this is what we're supposed to be, but this is what we are. If I can help anybody, I'm thrilled. And the fact that this book seems to inspire people is thrilling to me. And I hope that this documentary does the same thing. I really want it to say to people, look, it's not how bad things are, it's how good things are. And that begins with me. That begins with you. You know, it's a wonderful thing. We know not what we do, but we can wake up and begin to know that consciousness is a huge gift, and we have it right now, right here. What are we going to do?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a real turning point. It's a real turning point, in consciousness and human evolution. Like you say, that we may not really be aware of it, but we are kind of an endangered species in the, both psychologically and physically. So to be able to bring that forward, just quickly, because we do have a couple more minutes with this, was there any story or any situation or person that touched you when you were interviewing this documentary? And it's not to, put value on everybody else, but I love your storytelling. Is there one thing that changed you?
You know, I go back to Kivalina. I had an extraordinary time with Richard Sizek in Washington, D.C. That just thrilled me to pieces. And there's been so many good, wonderful interviews. But I go back to Kivalina because there's a woman there named Colleen Swan, and you'll see her on the website. She sat down, and I began in the Western way that I have learned. Apparently, I'm good at interviewing people. And, you know, when your cup is full, you don't have any room for learning new things. And I started talking to her in the way that I do people that I'm interviewing. And she got up and said, I'm sorry, this interview is over. I cannot follow the way you are thinking, and I will not be interviewed. And we had come, across half the world to interview this woman. And all of a sudden, I just got very quiet, and I called on that consciousness inside of me. And later, when I watched the tape, I could hear what I said, and I can't remember it now, and I couldn't remember it immediately after saying it because it was a gift. And I said whatever I said to her, and she turned around and she looked deep into my eyes, and she sat back down and she had the interview. And at the end of that interview, she was in tears and I was in tears as well. And I will always remember that as one of the most stirring moments when I learned something about heart, about heart, and about bravery and about courage. This is a very courageous woman and a beautiful woman, and it just meant so much to me that she called the interview to a halt. And then, because Spirit spoke to her in a way that she did recognize, she turned it around and sat down and allowed herself to really tell stories about her life in that village for almost an hour and a half. It was really
wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you know, when we meet at that heart, magic happens, doesn't it?
Yep. And I'll tell you, she scared me badly enough that I let go of Elizabeth Galen Baker and I tuned in to the universality of our hearts, and it worked, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Well, I'll tell you, to capture that and to be able to put that into the documentary and, you know, like you said, with this kind of overshadow of climate change that has so much scariness to it and that we, you know, don't want to really deal with, but we know we need to. It's kind of like having an elephant in the room and not really sure what to do. But to bring that kind of soul connection, that spirit together, so we can see that we all are common, we all share the same concerns, we all have our own stories that we can talk about, and to do it in a very truthful, mindful, heartfelt way truly, truly is the gift that I just knew when I saw you, your name, that you were going to be bringing forward. With the documentary and the progress, and, you know, here I'm going to go back into my kind of my interview part of it, is when are we going to be able to, do you have any kind of a timeline right now for this beautiful piece of work?
You bet. We're editing it now. And
wonderful.
I have two editors. I have an intern editor in Oklahoma. I have a main editor in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is where I normally live. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska right now, and I'm taking a month in a carriage house to put together a new story and also to really get clear about how I want to edit this documentary, and then I go back to Santa Fe. We hope to have it done within another month or so, maybe 2 months. Maybe the beginning of August, the end of August. We hope to have this documentary done and ready to go. And it's helped me so much to be here in the quiet. And I've been reading Paul Hawken. He's very inspiring. I've been reading so much about all of this. Because, Carol, listen, we do know what to do. We think we don't know what to do, but we do know what to do. And all we've lacked so far is the will. And I'm praying that this documentary will help people to have the will. They know what to do, and they know what we must do for the survival of our species.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, what a pleasure to have you on the show. I can't wait to keep in touch. Again, the website that you suggested is
weknownotwhatwedo.net. Right.
And so I encourage all of the listeners to, you know, go in every so often, you know, every couple of weeks, once a month if you need to, and just check up on the progress of this and, you know, be one of the first ones when it comes out to be able to let these stories come through and to touch your heart and to bring forward that, you know, that simplicity of what life is supposed to be, but the joy and the passion of it. Elizabeth, thank you so much, sweetie. I really recommend your book, Gifts of Gratitude. And, you know, I'm going to have you back on the show once this documentary gets out. And woohoo, I don't know where it's going to go with us, honey.
Hey, Carol, I'm so happy to meet you. I'm a big fan, and I'm a big fan of Hay House. And I just think that we have a lot of things to share, and I certainly hope that this is not the last time we talk.
It will not. Well, I want to thank all of you as my listeners for joining us today and joining Elizabeth. What a wonderful show. I don't know about you, but I feel really uplifted. If you want to listen to the show again, just go to my archives on my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the tab show, radio show, and then what you can do is listen to it again. Light and love to all of you. Have a great week, and I'm going to see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.